Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you'll be able to listen to the show.
Hello, testing, testing. Hey, y'all, Blog Talk is working all of a sudden. Blog Talk is now working. That's good because we broke through tonight, hopefully, with that. But, yeah, we broke through. Okay, so I just checked it again to make sure. And Hello, 1-2. Okay, I think you should be able to hear me now. Maybe. I think I got it. I think maybe the phone hung up or something. It hung me up. I'm back on there again. Angela, thank you for checking that out for me. I appreciate it. Okay, now you do. Thank you. Yeah, that's because I guess it hung me up. I didn't even know it hung me up. Maybe I hung myself up. Who knows? All right, so thank you for that. And now we are on Blog Talk. We just checked the audio. It is working, so thank you for that. All right. Now we can take, we did the Blood on the Doorpost tonight. You can see, I made the pictures a little bit better. We can see the pictures a little bit better, y'all. Right? You can see them a little bit better. So I'm going to go here to camera two. You can see the pictures a little bit better right there, right? See that? That's y'all. That's the old pictures you sent long time ago. Yeah, long time ago. And that's actually pictures of y'all. Yeah, so really, really cool, and we're getting this done, hallelujah, little by little, I'm perfected. I have so much going on with doing the books and all that, it's really, pray for me, you know, I'm loving it, at the same time, it's overwhelming, and then the warfare I go through, you know, whatever is real, what's not real, I'm always trying to find that out, what's real, real warfare, and what's just stuff that, just, you know, I need to work on. So I'm working on that all the time. So thank you for your prayers for me, for sure. All right, let's get ready to take communion. I think we're all ready. Let's lift up the bread and for 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received, Paul the Apostle said, I received this from the Lord, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's do it, friend. Hallelujah. Praise God. We lift up the cup. What Paul was saying here was that we not only celebrate communion for his body and his blood, what he did on the cross for now, but is also the Passover itself. And the typology or whatever you want to call it, the actions that went on of God saving Israel and Israel being right in the middle of the plagues, right in the middle of the plague or the judgment on the world, on Egypt, Israel was right there. That's what we remember in all this. This is what we got to change the way we think and change it to what communion is really about. And that is to remember not only what Jesus did, but in the same manner he did it, he poured out plagues, major plagues, and killed the firstborn of the world, Egypt, and their animals. And we're supposed to remember what? Not all that? No, to remember all of it. And that's what we're going to have to transform our thinking to, the basic, simple belief system that we have of communion, which Paul the Apostle says right here, that this is him. This is still how we think about our deliverance and how God does it. All right, let's drink his blood tonight. All right. In the same manner, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me, this drink. And we thank you, Jesus, that just like Israel came out healed. See, there's another connection. Why don't we believe God for healing with a communion? Because of what Jesus did on the cross? Well, remember what happened with Egypt? When they came out, there was not one sickly among them. Not one sickly among them. They were all strong. That's amazing. You had, I don't know how many million, how many people there were. There was a lot that came out, and every one of them were healed, were strengthened. They were whole. They were able to get up, and they couldn't go out being sick. God didn't want them leaving. You ever try traveling when you're sick? It is horrific. It's a bad deal. It's a bad thing. So they're leaving. It's they're going in wagons and riding horses. They need to be healed. So just like we believe God for healing now, we believe God for healing. They believe God for healing back then. The same connection that we make. You see, there's that connection. We can't just say, oh, that doesn't matter. That didn't mean anything. That means everything to what we do today. And then we look in the book of Revelation and we start interpreting things according to the way we think it should be, the way I would do it if I was God. God said, I haven't formed you to wrath, means that just like I believe in Egypt, that's what was going on. It was a wrath against Egypt, and God was pouring his wrath out on it. It was just, he totally destroyed Egypt. Egypt was a big place, and the slaves, the Israelites, are the ones who helped build it. It's like you and I, the money we make, the taxes we pay, we're building their system, man. We've been building that thing. You notice, ever paid attention to that? So every bit of that, I mean, God, some of Pharaoh's counselors said, Pharaoh, and this is in Exodus 8, Pharaoh, let these people go, man. This guy's got something. We can't counter what he's doing. This is beyond us. You know, wow. Let him go. He's destroying Egypt. That's wrath to me. The plagues were the name of the kind of thing that God was bringing on them, and the kind of plagues he was bringing was some that had never been seen before. In the book of Revelation, it's going to be as that's never been seen before. Do you see the connection with that? Every time I talk about the plagues that hit Egypt, Egypt had flies problems. They had frog problems at times of their life. They had tornadoes. They had hail. They had all that stuff. None of that was new. Very little of it was new. But this time, it was controlled by God and God's servant. That's the difference. And it was worse. If you read Exodus, I just suggest you read it or listen to it. Exodus, you know, 3, 4, read the whole thing. Exodus 2, Exodus 1 even. Starting there, and at least read Exodus 6, 7, and 8, 9, 10, and 11, 12, and read that. And you'll see that it says it's never been like this before. What's happened in the book of Revelation? What does it say that everybody's so scared about? Oh, my God, no, we can't be here for that. But the Tanner, it's going to be too bad. God didn't appoint us to be plagued like that. It's going to be worse than ever, just the same way that it was in Egypt. It says it had never been like this since Egypt had been founded. That's the word it uses, or had been created or started. That's what it says. What happened in the book of Revelation? You got that. What happened then, what Paul's talking about, Jesus said is still real today, communion. And what do we do about communion? It's our doctrine about how God delivers us. And specifically, when you connect everything that went on in Egypt and everything that's going on in the book of Revelation, the quotes are amazingly the same. The two witnesses are going to bring blood. They're going to turn the water into blood. They're going to have plagues as often as they want to. I mean, the connection between those two is the same. So why are we taking communion tonight? Well, the way God has told me, and I've never heard anybody talk about it like this before, is that we're connecting to the Passover, meaning when did that start? Well, in Egypt, when they were delivered and brought it, got the gold and silver and got out. That's all connected, friend. But people have somehow shifted it all to, oh, my God, we can't be here during that because it's going to be so bad. Well, in Egypt, it plainly says that when the cattle died in Egypt, that God made sure not one cow or calf or whatever died in Israel. When all the children were killed on the last plague, Not one child who killed in Egypt. They were all killed. First one. But not one firstborn animal or kid was killed in Egypt. I mean, in Israel. They all were the firstborn in Egypt, but Israel, they weren't. So what was God saying? I'm going to be pouring out plagues. The two witnesses are going to do plagues as often as they want to. And most people believe, you know, that I know that the two witnesses, you know, they're right there until at the temple. And Satan comes out, you know, in the temple and says, hey, man, you've been messing my stuff up long enough. I'm going to kill you. And they're through prophesying that they've been messing them up for a long time, Nathaniel's stuff for a while. They're going to be messing that up, and he can come out, and the beast is going to come out from wherever and kill him. Only because they're through prophesying. You have to see the correlation here is it's God's protection, friend. If we don't start connecting this stuff, our doctrine about the end times is going to be wrong. Because Egypt and what happened in Egypt and what's going to happen in Egypt, you can see, hey, it's the same thing. But everybody wants to change it to what they think they would do if they were God. Oh God, we don't want to be here for that. I mean, but they weren't Egypt. We don't take communion over other things. We take communion over what happened in Egypt. It's Passover. The whole Passover that was established was about how they came out. It wasn't about something Abraham did or all the – no, it was what Moses and the children of Israel did and what God did to Egypt with Israel right there in the middle of it. We're going to be right in the middle of it, friend, all the way around. And it is not going to harm you. It's not going to come near your door unless it's your time to die, unless you're going to be a martyr. And some of you might be. There are going to be martyrs, but not everybody's going to die. Oh, everybody's going to die, brother. The ship was being overwhelmed, and Jesus was down there sleeping. They all came out and said, oh, we're all going to die. That's exactly what you hear people going like, we're all going to die. We pay here for that. Well, it's going to be shortened. The last worst part is going to be shortened. You know, it's going to be 3.5 years, and it's going to be shortened. Matthew 24 said, if the time wasn't shortened, even the elect would be deceived. Because deception is going to be so big, y'all. It's going to be so big. Are y'all hearing that? Are you getting it? Are you connecting it? We got to connect with the Bible with the Bible, the Bible with the Bible. Not somebody's interpretation, mine or anybody else's, that says, oh, well, now it's not really the same, Brother Chandler. We're changing the Word of God because what happened in Egypt, man, we ain't going to go through that. And they didn't even have the Holy Ghost. They weren't even saved. We're saved. We're going, oh, no, please, no, no. Not the worst that it's ever been in the whole world. No. That's what it says many times. It's never been like that ever before in the world. What happened in the book of Revelation at the end, the Great Tribulation? Same words. Oh, but we got to change it, Brother Chandler. We got to change it all. We can't be here for that. I'm going like, I don't know. Man, the spirit of religion, that religious spirit is pretty strong, and many will be deceived if it's not shortened. Because you see all the deception goes on now. You know, and I've done my part of that, but I'm coming out of it. I'm not going to partake of their plagues. I'm going to be speaking plagues on those systems. Yes, I am. All right, there we took communion. I got it. Hallelujah. I did it. Oh, Jesus and me, we did it. And now the joy that floods my... Okay, so let's pray for offerings. I think I got all the offerings together. And, yeah. Okay. There's a lot more I want to talk about some of this stuff, but we'll save it for another time. Okay. All right, let's go here. And let me do this. I'm going to take all this offering stuff here in a second. And I'm going to get it all going. Don't forget that you can get the app now. on go to your app store, you can get the app. Now just search for Randy Chandler. You'll see the PGN app. All right. Okay. Hi. Well, doing good. Anything on there? Got to be something on there. What happened? I didn't. Okay, you know. What's going on? Oh, there it is. There we go. It's not showing up. There it is. Yeah, I got it. All right. We got it right here. This is how I pray over people. You can see if you can see that on Zoom right there, and whatever you watch, if you're watching by the computer. I did send those links out. I double checked, and they were there on Zoom. So for some reason, maybe they didn't look like it, what it was, but that they were there. Thank God. I thought I messed that up, so I didn't. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to check one more time, make sure there's not any more offerings in coming in tonight, and we're going to pray. On that. Okay. Got that. All right. Get that. Miss Fargo. Check it out. Okay. All right. Good. I'm glad I checked on that. Wells Fargo had a couple. All right. Okay. All right. Praise God. I got them all for now. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, guys, for giving, and we appreciate it. Hallelujah. It is working, and we are on Block Talk still, as far as I can tell. Thank God. That was good to know. I wanted to check to make sure to see that they did break it through tonight somehow, even though earlier I couldn't get on. Now we're able to get on. Hopefully that will continue. Okay. All right. We're still on. Praise God. Okay, we took communion. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of stuff happening tonight. All right. You can probably, if you're watching the screen there, you can see how we do this. And why isn't that, what's going on with that? What's going on with that? All right, let's go here and see myself with all this. Oh, there it is. Okay, wonderful. Okay, got it. All right. December 21st, here we are. We're doing it. We're together on all this. We're on PG. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We're on Zoom. And I think everybody can hear my audio. Problem is, people on Blog Talk cannot hear the audio on the video. That's why we don't do Zoom all the time, because the people on Blog Talk cannot hear the audio from Zoom. That's why we don't do Zoom yet, regularly on video. Because we talk to people, nobody can hear it on Zoom. The internet radio cannot hear what goes on with the people talking from the show. They hear me, but they can't hear you guys when we talk on the show. Okay, I'm trying to make that clear, say it clear, that that's why I don't use Zoom right now. Thursdays, we don't really talk to people where everybody needs to hear it, right? Okay, here we go. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Lord. My God, I feel an anointing right now starting to come on me. Dear Jesus. I got some things I want to talk about, but I'm going to wait. I want to connect. I'm connecting pieces of the puzzle, a lot of pieces of the puzzle. So if you don't connect them, you'll miss it. I miss it until I see it. And when I see it, I'm going, why didn't I see that before? It's so obvious. But, you know, God has to open our eyes, right? So, Lord, open our eyes tonight in Jesus' name, that we can connect Passover and communion that Paul the Apostle confirmed it was for the future, for us, for the future, and the book of Revelation and all that went on that began, that instituted, that was began the institution of Passover. All that, right, we got to connect all that together. If we don't, we're going to miss out on everything that's important. Everything. All right. All right. Okay. Andrea. Thank God. So, Andrea, thank you, Jesus, for Andrea. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, $5. Thank you, Lord, for Andrea tonight. We thank you, Jesus, that you're, that sometimes you feel like you're spinning your wheels. What I'm hearing, spinning your wheels. And Lord, I want you to know that sometimes when you get stuck in mud, you spin your wheels a little bit, right? Sometimes it rains. And I've been a farmer. I've been out there, you know, on, you know, and you get stuck in a tractor even, and you spin in your wheels. And you learn, you have to go out there and throw some hay in there or do something, stick some rocks or down in there and get yourself out. Because we all do that. I mean, sometimes, you know, I find myself, you know, because I don't know what battle I'm really fighting. So I'm spinning my wheels. So God's going to show you how to spend less time, how to come out of that wheel spinning. Spinning, I feel like you're feeling like you're going nowhere. Right? To show you how to prevent that and to turn that around quickly. I have it happen to me all the time. I'm spinning my wheels, spinning my wheels, spinning my wheels. I said, Lord, I start crying out to God. Man, help me with this. And he says, well, okay, you know, sometimes it's a season that we, you know, have struggles and battles and go through that stuff. Sometimes, you know, it's warfare. Sometimes it really is warfare that we're going through. And, you know, you just never really know until God tells you. And so I'm feeling like, you know, God's going to show you. He's going to show you. Yeah. Deborah and John, $11. Thank you, Lord, for Deborah and John. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for them tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you join them together in a holy way, God. Holy means that God is blessing it. Holy means that he's got a purpose in it. Holy means he separated you out, you know, to be like he did Israel at the time of the plagues and all that. He separated them out and showed them that, you know, the world and these people, they're not going to be protected, but you're going to be protected. God's really going to make that plain to you, because that's going to be really important with your money, with your family, with your future, with your whatever God's having you do in your life. It's going to be extremely important for you to see that, right? So that you can see what's my purpose in this. Because if we don't know our purpose in something, we're going to be spinning our wheels, right? And God knows. People do it. We do it until we find out. That's the whole message. It seems to be the whole message tonight. I did not plan on that being our message, honest, you know, truth. But it was. It is. And there went America, right back there. Bye. Yeah, come back around. Come back around. The globe is continuing to turn. And so God's going to show you, Deborah and John, about that and opening up your purpose for specifically for, you know, like Jesus. We know his purpose. His purpose was to, he was born to die. He was birthed to reveal the Father also and to show what God was really like. And he did that extremely well. And then it came to the point at Gethsemane when a turning point at a young age, 33, John the Baptist got the same thing. Maybe 30. They were 6 months apart. What, 6 months? Yeah, he died 3 years before this. So he was 30 when he died, around 30, John. His purpose was done, right? So we got so much to do. We don't have time to die right now, for sure. Because we are in a place, Deborah and John, where knowing our purpose is going to know what kind of battle we're fighting. And if we know what kind of battle that we're fighting, if we know what our calling is and what specifics are, then we kind of know a little bit more about what we are fighting and what we're battling for. Like, I know what I'm warring for. Israel going to war on my birthday was, you know, I hear it all the time, October the 7th. What happened on October 7th? They don't even say what's happening in the war. They say what happened on October 7th. Did you notice that? Don't ask me. I have nothing to do with it. But it's reminding me every day what I was born to do. I had a lot of things I've been doing that I was called to do, but what are you born to do? And then now that I know that, I've known it for a while, but I know what I've been going through with, like, the DEA thing that went on, the fake DEA thing went on, and the Mason thing. I have no proof that it's the Mason people, but with all the evidence of it, I think that I see, I'm a pretty sober-minded person on being attacked, who's coming against me, and all that kind of thing. I've been through a lot of stuff, you know, and God has allowed it because he wanted to train me on how not to be, you know, goofy, and every time something comes up, it's like, I'm under persecution. Sometimes I make the mess myself, and I'm, you know, like Job. Job's situation was, it wasn't him on that one. I think most people it is, you know, many times, sad to say, including myself. But God's going to show you, and when you know you're going to have to fight, you're going to have to box, you're going to waste your time, you know, with things that look important, that seem important, that everybody says is important, you know. But we're going to know what's important. Are you going to know what's important? I think being part of PGN is going to help you with that. I really do. I really think that that's, you know, a real important thing to be a part of, you know, the prophetic realm and connected to that and, you know, whatever way that you are, that is going to help. You listen more to what is being said here than, you know, those outside of it. So you kind of are up on, you know, what's really happening, what's not really happening, what the prophets say, and what's, you know, what's really going on, what God's doing, you know, so you're able to find out a little bit about that. So that helps. So, yeah, it's all about warfare and are we wearing ourselves out? The Bible says in the book of Daniel, Deborah and John, that Satan is his strategy is to wear the saints out. To wear us out. What does he wear us out? He certainly doesn't wear us out doing the fight that God's fighting. That wouldn't be wearing us out. We'll be strengthened by that, but he wears us out by getting us into all these other things. And we're got so much pride about them, so much, you know, whatever, you know, ministries do it all the time. They have so much pride about that. I started this thing, and now, yeah, you started an Ishmael. You got to keep, you know, fixing it all the time. Just get rid of it. That's what Sarah told Abraham. Hey, honey, get rid of that kid. Abraham says, what? That's my baby. Not your baby, my baby. And God said, listen to her. Sometimes we have to listen to people who tell us, get rid of some of that. Quit flopping around with all the well-known ministries. And, you know, I mean, like people do all, I mean, I deal with a lot of stuff, so. But they're a well-known ministry, Brother Chandler. Yeah, I know people that gave their inheritance to a well-known ministry, and the guy was dead 6 months later. Does that mean it wasn't God? Not necessarily, but I think it wasn't. I think they missed God on it. I do. Gave money to a man who's going to be dead in 6 months. Yeah, he's a good man, too, a godly man. So it can't all go to waste, but, oh, it's so important we get it. People that are known out, they're out there and they got things going on. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's fine, but is it the sign? Is it the sign? You know, do we obey God? What we do with what? Oh God, I know them for years. I've been a part of them for years. You know, I'm gonna help them because they're out there, man. They're doing something. Now, what doing something is? What's boxing and fighting the right fight is doing what God says, and not just flop around with who's well known, who's popular. And I like all those guys too. But I do what the Lord tells me to do. You know? Yeah. God is good, man. It's amazing. We're learning. We're learning what fight we're in. Genie, $12. Same thing. I may be honest with everybody now. I don't know what's going to happen. But we'll see where it goes. But, you know, fighting the good fight. What fight are we fighting? Yeah. You know, that's what most people know. They're out there, you know, doing something. I don't know what to do, Brother Randy. So they try to find something. And, you know, for whatever reason, they think it's, you know, important. And find out that maybe it's not as important as they thought. Because the important is what God's telling you to do. Right? It's what God has you to be a part of. It's not what you... what's popular or well known, or you know, they mess their own TV, their own radio, they're on that, yeah, and that's really awesome, man. He doesn't want that. But what is God saying? Jesus said, "My meat, Jeannie, is to do the will of my Father." So I think God is, you know, refocusing you. You know, you think you've been refocused quite a bit already, but I see God really focus you in on what you're really fighting. What's going on with your land, your property, your husband, yourself, your family? We're praying for Charlotte tonight. She asked me to pray for Charlotte, her brother's daughter, who is, I think, dating or married a Muslim or dating him or something. I remember what you said about that. But, yeah. And now she's like, she thinks he's probably a Muslim. That's a big thing. That's, you know. Wow. Bless her heart. God, we pray for Charlotte tonight. And we thank you, Jesus, for covering her in her blood. And that, thank you for Jeannie's compassion and the fact that Jeannie is there praying and believing God for, you know, her life. And standing in the gap. That's a real battle. You know, that's a real battle. Not a real battle for me because I'm not called to do that, but it's for you. And then their arms and things, people that you get to come in agreement with you. And, you know, you're in the center of that. And we help and we pray and we agree in Jesus' name that Charlotte will find out that what she knows about Jesus, maybe very little, I don't know, she may start comparing what Mohammed, and start comparing it to Jesus. They, you know, I don't know. But I think the Bible says something else, doesn't it? So what's up with all that? I don't know. What's up with all that? You know, maybe I need to turn my eyes to God, and maybe God will use it to cause her to see Jesus. Amen? Yeah, she'll be looking for the Lord, and it'll be really awesome. Thank you, Lord, for her salvation, for her. The Holy Spirit inspired her to birth her around her, get around her, wherever he's at, around her, in her, through her, and reconnect her to you, God, who you are. Have mercy on her, Jesus. Let her learn much from this. Let her come out of this and be used to help young people to find the true and living God. Amen. Yeah. We just bless you in Jesus' name. All right, Daryl, $13. Thank you, Daryl, for that. That's your tithe. Thank you. Please see your tithe. Okay. Thank you. God, we ask you to bless his tithe. And thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And cause him to be blessed. The tithe is blessed above all things. You know, the Bible says to our tithe belongs to God. It already is God's, not even ours. It's since he trusts us to hand it over to him, we don't even really give. People use the word give, and I think their meaning is they hand it over to God. It already belongs to him. It's whether we give it, whether we offer it to him or not. And say, here's your portion. I keep the 90%. Thank you, Lord. We are a great partner. What a great partner to have. They keep 90 and you keep 10. God, the partner keeps 10 and you know, we keep 90. Wow. I mean, who can have a better partnership than that? But most people don't see it like that. They just think, begrudgingly give it. You know, I give it to God. Thank God that Daryl doesn't do that. God, I thank you, Jesus. He's learning how to give with truth. The truth about the tithe, the truth about even offerings, whatever that is for him, that you show him that, God, so he will do it with a joyful heart, with the knowledge of what it is to God, and not just to a preacher, to people, or to the church. Amen. Tithe goes to the fivefold ministry, not just the church building. It's the fivefold ministry. The tithe goes to the fivefold ministry, whether in a brick building or cathedral or right here. Yeah, so bless him, Jesus. Increase him and multiply him. Amen. Nicole, 17:17. Did you put that in there? No, Faye's next. No, I'm sorry. Faye, 13. Sorry, Faye. Nicole's after that one. Nicole, Daryl, they're close together. Got Faye in between them. Faye, $13. Thank you, Lord, for Faye. Thank you, Jesus, for you know, this whole message tonight. I mean, I can't get away from this really powerful point about how that God is saying we've got to connect our healer to when they came out of Egypt, how that, you know, the rock, they followed the rock followed them, Jesus. You know, got to start connecting all that stuff. And as we come to truth, God, that Faith's going to understand her calling in you, Jesus, because she's going to start understanding what the Bible is really saying. Whatever God has shown her, she's going to see what it really says and what it says to her personally. That's why Paul the Apostle prayed for the church to have the spirit of understanding. Because when they have the spirit of understanding, they understand what it means to them. It's not just what it means to Paul. Paul wasn't saying, I hope they get to understand what I understand. Well, he understood a lot, but he was saying, yeah, that's important, but that you understand what is for you. So that it becomes flesh and blood to you, and not just that's why we eat his flesh and drink his blood. But the purpose of that is it becomes part of us. Amen. That by faith in Jesus, you will start realizing that when that what we do with Jesus and what he did is that he's become flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. It's for us. It's for me. That word that I just read, I realized for the first time, oh my God, that is for Faye. That's for me. Whatever that word's speaking to you, you're going to receive it, whether it's healing, whether it's restoration, whether it's financial, whether it's favor, whether it's a mantle, whatever it is, you're going to be like Peter, and Jesus is going to say to you, you got it now, girl. I mean, you've had it in your head for a long time, different things, but now you've got it. It's flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone. I'm not concerned about, you know, trying to get healing all the time. You know, I try to live my life, eating right, doing right, and that within itself doesn't do it. You have to, you know, but I do that part to stay healed, to stay the best I can. And but you had an accident that something happened, and so you have a whole different kind of situation here. You had an accident. Those things are completely different situations. So God's going to restore the thing that the accident did to you or try to do to you, the purpose of it, the enemy is trying to do, God's going to turn it out for good. What men meant for evil, you know, I don't know if that person did that on purpose, but, you know, either way, you know, God's going to work it for your good because he's going to take it and he's going to make the word of God flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone. It's going to change your life. You're going to be standing on the word, on the rock, in every area of the word of God that is for you. So it doesn't matter what comes against you in your life, you will have what you need to fight it and win. Not boxing the air, not getting wasting too much time doing this and that and the other, but actually hitting it on the head. That's what Revelation does. It calls you to fight the right fight, not all this and all that and what everybody else is doing, not even what Paul is doing or anybody else is. It's what God is showing you about you. I can't box your box. Paul can't box your do your boxing for you. Right? Yeah, you do. You know what to hit. You don't spend time doing anything other than, God, what do I hit? What do I do here? How do I do this? And he's going to say, read this scripture. You're going to go, wow, that was awesome. I think I got that now. You're going to go, yeah, now when you hit it, you're going to hit it hard. When you box against, when you fight against that thought process or whatever it is, you're going to be hitting it head on instead of swinging and you don't know if you're hitting it or not, right? Like what most of us do. Yeah. That's what God's doing. Nicole, 17:17. Thank you, Lord. I know what 17 means to me. Of course, numbers are a big thing to me in my life. 17:17, that's victory, God, that we're believing victory for Nicole's mom and that whole situation. That it work out for good, that the destruction that tries to come at noonday will be stopped. Amen. Paul, Jesus, listen, Nicole, Jesus, I love Jesus' aggression, man. When he wants to go, when he goes after somebody, man, he really goes after him. When he went after Paul, Saul, riding his horse, you know, arrogant, pompous, doing, God is with me, I'm on a mission from God. All of a sudden, Jesus takes over, woo, knocks him off his horse, his little horsey, and he's blinded, can't see, doesn't know what to do. He's been like, and God, Jesus is going like, yeah, sometimes, Nicole, I choose to knock things, I have to intervene and come aggressively to do something, because he was on his way to, you know, do some things that wasn't of God. He thought it was God. A lot of people, when they're in deception, they think what they're doing is just, God, I'm storing up for Jesus. I'm keeping this stuff. This is for the Lord. Somehow or another, and they're thinking it's a good thing, in other words. Well, sometimes you have to knock them off the horse. God does. And he did it with Paul. And in Paul's case, things changed. You know, it was hard. It took time. He spent 3 years in the wilderness. That's how big of a change that he needed. 3 years in the wilderness by himself. Yeah, sometimes God just chooses to use somebody to knock them off the horse, to stop them from whatever they're doing because they don't know any better. They're blinded. Saul was blinded. And God wanted him. I want that boy. He's amazing. Just wax him. Wax him, knocks him off his horse. Hits the dirt, blinded, like, you know what blinded me, the dirt or what happened? And Jesus speaks to him to make it real clear and plain. I did this to you. Why are you persecuting me? Somebody's going to come in Ananias. He's going to pray over you. It's going to open your eyes. But, boy, I need you, man. I got you. I came after you big time. So we have to see the purpose of God in our aggression toward stopping things that, you know, there's a problem. God be with you in it. Paulette, $20. Thank you, Paulette. She's the same. Thank you, Lord, for the warfare in her life, God, that you're anointing her. God, I see God giving you some new gloves, some new boxing gloves. And these boxing gloves are not the big fluffy ones, you know, it's those ones that are real small, a little bit of padding on them. Don't ask me what that means. You know, so when you hit something, you're going to hit it hard. And it's like, you know, it's going from the big padding thing that still hurts when you hit people, hit them hard enough, to this, you know, we can hit them, you know, it takes less because that padding's gone. You got just a little bit of pad on there. Like, see some of these boxers now, they put these little thin gloves, you know, got a, you know, one inch instead of 4 inches of coat, you know, cushion. And so when they hit, man, it hits like, wow. So it takes less energy and more punch. Get more done with less, you know, energy. Yeah. That's what God's doing. He's showing you how to, he's changing, you know, like maybe before that was a good thing. And God's changing it to where you're more, going to be more effective. You're going to just take less energy to pray your way through. And to God's showing you what to fight. What is it, just me fighting myself today? Am I having a bad day? Which we all do. Sometimes we do fight ourselves. You know, we have to figure out how to handle that. So we can do real warfare. So when real warfare comes, we can be aware of it and that we know that we're not fighting. It's not just me now today, Lord. It's I'm fighting a real fight. And then you can go to battle and people start winning. Effective prayer, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or woman availeth much. Yeah, availeth much. All right, then Nicole just gave another 747. We'll put that in here at the bottom. Thank you, Nicole. 747, huh? 747. AK-47, maybe? No? That's what it is, our offering, just sends it 747. Very interesting. We're going to pray over that later. Thank you for that. It's really cool. I love this stuff, man. It's so much fun to watch all this stuff unfold. It's amazing. So we got Angela, South Carolina, $22. Thank you, Angela. Thanks for letting me know about Blog Talk. I appreciate that. It's still on. I guess if you're still there, you can still hear it, right? It still seems to be working. Thank God. As far as I know, it's working well because I'm still on there, so it knocked me off, and I'm guessing people could, halfway through the show, like I did last Thursday, it knocked everybody off. Once I went to war, seemed like the timing with that was like, we're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about three things that happened that were major, I think major, that are a sign that the system doesn't like me that well. And I don't think it's people so much as it's a spiritual thing. And we did some, I was going to show the power of going to war by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to show you not only the Blog Talk thing, but two other things. Okay, D says she's giving $5. She's not able to do it because of the show. It's a bad connection. All right, we'll pray for that at the end here. Okay, thank you, D. Put Nicole at the bottom here. We'll pray for that as we go through here. Thank you, D, for that. All right, and I got it down here. Thank you. God bless. All right, so we're praying over Angela, South Carolina, $22. All right, Angela, thank you, Jesus, for, you know, saying we're on this thing tonight. God's going to show different ways about warfare. I don't know what all they are. But I have a feeling each person is going to draw out of me whatever the Lord, what he wanted to say about this subject. I like the way he's doing this now. I mean, I'm not that's going to happen all the time. But gets on a subject, something that he's interested in, and then through praying over the offerings, some of the time we find ourselves continuing to activate this new strategy, this new thing, this new understanding into the prayer over offerings. I love that. I mean, I think it's cool. Well, thank you, Lord, for that 22 from Angela, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that that her mantle, God, the mantle in her life, to be able to see and know. God's really going to show you, he's making you a seer. You're a seer. God's going to show you how to, he's going to show you how to see. He's going to show you when he's showing you something and when you're just seeing it for yourself. Happens to me too. Sometimes I see things and I'm going, is that me? Is that the Lord? What is it? It's a good question to ask. It's not like we never hear from God or never, it's always me. No, sometimes it's me, sometimes it's the Lord. So I'm going like, is this me? What is this? Who is this? How is this? And the Lord's going to show you, going to really open your eyes so that when you go to take a punch at your circumstance, your Goliath, like David, he didn't wait for the Goliath to come to him. He went after Goliath. God's going to show you how to go after things when you're supposed to. When David and his men, later when David got older, him and his men were out, you know, taking care of business, going to war, going to battle. And the enemy came while they were out, took all his warriors' family, children, wives, and including his wife, came back and went, oh, my God. I mean, it was really a horrible situation. They were going to stone him over that. We're fighting for you. Look what happened. We didn't leave anybody here to protect. So what did David do? He didn't just naturally pick up and go after him, because that's the thing that we know we're supposed to do. Like his men were, you know, going to stone him over. What are you going to do about this? He goes to God. He goes to the priest, and the priest with a Urim and Thummim says, yeah, go for it. David sought God about that. He sought God about everything. God's going to show you how to seek him about everything. We just don't naturally get up and go, you know, oh, I'm going to go after my stuff because that's my stuff, you know. Well, does God want me to go after my stuff now, or is there something going on? Is God trying to test me? Do I need to give it over to him, or do I need to go after it? And that's what David was doing. Do I need to yield all this to you and let them, you know, stone me if they want to? If you want me to die, I'll die. If you want me to go after them, I'll go after them and get them all back and make the guys happy. What do you say, God? So God, what was the real warfare with him? See, David was trying to find out what was he really fighting? He's a warrior. He knows about different kinds of fights. So his fight at that moment was his men are going to stone him. He's a tremendous pressure, and all of a sudden, you know, David goes, oh, I think I'm going to go ask a priest if we should go after him. I'm going to go ask God. Goes, and the priest said, man, the Lord says, yeah, go after him. The stones all did say, did the yeah thing. Well, he does it. And what did he do? Just think if he would have gone without that or without the assurance that God was with him. See, in the back of your mind, if you didn't ask God supposedly to do that, it's going to interfere with your ability to be effective. So we got to know God is with me. Like I tell people all the time, I say, see, I'm a warrior. I, Randy Sharon, am a warrior. And when God allows me, then always allow me. Sometimes he has turned the other cheek. Sometimes lay it down. Sometimes give it over. I'm testing you. Sometimes he says, go after him. And brother, when me and the Lord come after you, and not our friend, you know, after somebody that he's allowed me to go after, watch out. Because God might just take back that what you took and what they took and more. That's what happened with David. So, angel of God can show you. So when you go to battle, you go with confidence that God is with you in that. In the back of your mind, you're going like, man, every part of you knows God is with me. So, therefore, he didn't just get what belonged to him. He got that and more. And that's what God wants to do with you. He wants to show you how to walk in that. Yeah. All right. Nikki and Charles, $25. Pray for Robbie and Stephanie. Robbie, that's their children. And Stephanie is her daughter. Thank you, Lord, for Steph. We just thank you, Jesus, that you, God, give her. See, it's this whole thing about warfare tonight. I guarantee you, every one of us, and every one of these people, Robbie and Stephanie, Nikki and Charles, children and our family are, you know, definitely, we're in some kind of warfare. But the reason most people don't ever get anywhere, they go around and around and around, never ever learning, never come to the knowledge of the truth. What does that mean? Well, ever learning, never comes to knowledge. People learn about stuff all the time. Yeah, warfare. Yeah, warfare. Oh, God, I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. So what war are you going to? What's the war? What's your specific war strategy going on with this? I don't know, man. I'm just praying. You know what I mean? I mean, like, you know, we're just going to war, man. We're going to fight. We're fighters. In the name of Jesus. They don't know where to direct their arrows. Where to, you know, direct their sword. David was a warrior. He knew. You know, I went to God. I asked the priest, and God just said, yeah, go. So he got God's approval. It wasn't just something, you know. So the whole thing, you know, about warfare and about strategy, you know, what are we really fighting? Are we like Jonah outside the will of God? And the ships left to go down and kill everybody? And he finally says, it's me, man. I'm running from God. They went, what? Well, we don't want to throw you. They didn't want to throw him over. No, you need to throw. He told them. He knew how to win this battle. He said, I'm the problem. The reason your ship is about to go be destroyed because it's all because of me. He knew exactly what the war he was in was all about. It was about him and his disobedience. So he goes, throw me over, guys. And, you know, they threw him over with reluctance. Read it for yourself. Book of Jonah. They didn't want to throw him over. You know, they liked him. He was a good guy. He was a prophet. They're going to be careful how they deal with the prophet. He's still a prophet over there. Yeah, oh, my God. And he got their approval. He gave him his approval. Throw me over. What happened? He got back in line with God. The fish swallowed him, put him in his mouth or whatever, and spit him out where he's supposed to be. Man, that was warfare, y'all. So what's our warfare about? Is it about my disobedience? Ooh. And it's the only thing I can do to win that battle, to stop that storm, is to go overboard and save those people and tell God, you know, hey, if you want to get me there, you're gonna have to get me a fish or something. I don't know how I'm gonna get there, but yeah. Yeah. That was a dangerous thing they had going on there. What was the battle about? They all gonna die? It was good. Because, you know, Jonah was in rebellion against God. He was a prophet. He wasn't just some good guy. He was a prophet on a mission. And when you're a prophet on a mission, you can affect somebody else's life. Yeah. And you have to sometimes ask them to throw you overboard. Get rid of me. That's exactly what he told him. Because he was boxing now. He was fighting. He knew what he was fighting. He's like, man, it's me. And he's fighting himself, like, throw me over. And they did. The sea settled down. The war was over. And he was on his way to Nineveh, going to give a message. And he's going to look like a donkey and look like a real jackass, because he said in 40 days, the city's going down. And it didn't go down in 40 days. And he was saying, thus saith the Lord, not, it's my opinion. He wasn't there to give his opinion. Prophets don't give their opinions. Well, you can give your opinion. But when it comes to prophesying, it's not, you don't give your, what I think I would do if I was God. I don't think I would ever want to do. Yeah, I don't. If I was God, I wouldn't be doing it. And you start prophesying what you think you would do if you were God. God didn't say do that. So he spit him out. Told him in 40 days going down, thus saith the Lord. No repentance. He didn't say, if you repent, God will change his mind. He'd say nothing. Go read it for yourself and don't read commentaries that people say what they think. Read it raw. That's God to show you. Yeah. And the thing he feared came upon him. And he looked like a donkey, got mad, got angry with God. And it was not cute. It was not cute. So help them, Jesus, help Stephanie know what she's fighting. So if she has any old disobedience, sure, what it is. No big deal. Jump overboard and let the fish, let God. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. For Robbie, God would say for Robbie, same thing. God, you know, people, oh, my God, my life's falling apart. I've opened myself to Satan. Or maybe God just, no, sometimes you're, when you're in rebellion against God, you have to just stop that. The war you're fighting, the battle you're fighting, is getting right with God, period. It's not reading your Bible. It's not going to church. It's repenting and getting right with God. And when you do that, God will get you. Believe me, when that fish was at, like, I think God had that fish following the boat underneath. My stuff just went off for a second there. what was that? with that. Yeah. So, you know, when you're getting right with God, getting right with God is the issue. Once you get right with God, that fish that was following him, you know, was there because he, as soon as Jonah, you know, said, throw me over, God knew that something like that was going to happen. He throws him over, got the fish right there, and the fish just said, here, I'm going to take you like a taxi, like Uber. A big, fat fish. Maybe his name was Uber. Uber the whale. So Uber the big fish. God was give him a ride, a free ride, but I had to be in the belly of a whale or a big fish, you know, smelling that milk. He paid for it. Spit him out. Yeah, that fish was caught. So there's a fish. God's got a fish right there to take you and deliver you right where you're supposed to be, so that all those unnecessary battles, it opens the door for unnecessary winds and tornadoes and hurricanes and storms that blow you everywhere. You can't even, yeah, just one little, okay, God, I'm sorry. Whatever you say, I'll do it. Just show me. I don't know what to do. You're going to show me. Amen. So when we do that, God turns it all around. Thank you, Lord. Show them how to do it. Show them how to get there, go there. Stay there. Get there, go there, and stay there. Open them up, open them up, open them up. Nikki and Charles, same way. Thank you, Jesus. Showing them where the real battle is. They've even asked me, what do you think's going on, Randy? With us. I said, well, you know, just listen to the word. Just listen to the word. Let the word get in you. And if you know better than to do something, you're still doing it, you know? And I'm not talking about some sinful thing. I'm talking about, you know, knowing what the word of the Lord is, and then so if we, you know, heard the word and don't do what it says because we're afraid we're not going to be, you know, taken care of or not whatever's going on, God's going to watch over us. We're going to be able to get our mission accomplished by living half here and living half there. You know, God's going to show you how to go wholeheartedly do it and still touch all kinds of people and be single-minded. That's what God's doing with me. Everything I'm saying to you is happening to me because I know what this is like. He says, come out from among them. 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 Be holy because you don't want to partake of their plagues. Some of their plagues are financial plagues. It's going to be devastating, the financial plague that they go through. But we're not. We're going to be safe. You know why? Because I did what God told me to do. I brought that money, TGN money, for the people of God out of the system. So that no matter, even though it's going up right now, seems to be prospering right now, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. It's a man-made crash going on. Therefore, it's going to look different than a regular crash. The war started on October the 7th. That was the sign. One of these nights I'm going to talk about that. That's some specific information I've had for a long time. I didn't know there'd be a war in Israel and the effectiveness in destroying Hamas. That's a big, 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 big thing. I didn't know that specifically was going to happen. But I knew that October was going to be the opening up of a disaster of taking the system down. That I know. I didn't have details about it, but I knew October was going to be a time for that to happen. And well, that's when I went to war. I was freaked out. I went, oh my God. Yeah, I was like going, man, I already knew October, but that some, you know, things are going to start falling apart. And in our sense, it's coming together. Israel going to war was, for us, it's coming out of the system, so we're coming together. For them, it's going to be thinking, they think they're getting their system going on, but they're not going to make it, of course. Yeah, I've known that. I knew the October thing for a long time. I did not know Israel was going to war, though. That I didn't know. But I knew that the seal would be broken in October for disaster. And that, to me, was, we just came out of the system, October the 4th. So you hear me talk about the pressure about October? Soon I'm going to talk about that. Started in October. I knew that, you know, for quite a while. Didn't know details. There's more to come. So stay tuned. All right. Let's thank you, Charles. God, thank you for loving them. Thank you for their obedience to you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for you doing. You're going to do them like you're doing like me. You're going to make me. You're making them single-minded. So they can fight their fights with a single mind. That's what we're all. That's what we're all doing. That's what I'm doing. That's exactly what I'm doing. Coming up from among them, and I'm being holy, separate, and that started in October. And I knew the October. I didn't know the war, but I knew that October for a long time was going to be a time where things were going to break exteriorly and manifest. So I'm just like going like, how's it going to happen? How's it going to happen? What's it going to? And Israel goes to war on my birthday. Like, woo, happy birthday. It happened. Yeah, and it's a process. That day and the coming that days after that, a few days after that, was something going on. All right, y'all getting this? We came out of the system financially, like Israel came out of Egypt, right? You know, the system. If you don't start connecting all this, you're gonna miss it. I think I'll try to help you. So please listen closely. October was the breaking of the seal, if you would. I don't know if it's official biblical seal. I don't know what to call it, but I think it was. I think it was. All right, Sandra, $25, Sandra and Robert. Thank you, Lord, for Sandra and Robert. Thank you, Jesus, for their life. Thank you, Lord, for their dedication to you. And thank you for their compassion, Father, and their endurance, the giving them endurance, the ability to endure until the end. It's easy to get started in an endurance thing. It's to endure until the end of the thing, of that thing. See, Moses went through that because God told him that Pharaoh was going to fight him. He was going to harden his heart, not let him go. But he didn't know. You could see it. I just listed it again today, of course, that Moses goes like, you know, after a couple of plagues, I'm like, you know, God, is this something wrong? Is that something wrong? You know, what's going on? Just, you know, I thought you were going to deliver the people. He thought it was going to happen after a couple. Right, because he didn't know. Read it for yourself. Especially Revelation 8. I mean, not Revelation 8, Exodus 8. And read a little bit before that. And 8 is a big one. 7, 8. Yeah. And so he had to endure. And we know he got very patient, like we do. He got angry at God. God, you know, I'm telling these people, you said you're going to let them go. And you're not letting them go. What's up? He was mad. He got angry. God said, well, just go do the job. Go do the job. So he gave him endurance to endure so that the job could be done, right, until the end. That things don't always go like we think, right? I mean, they very rarely ever go like we think. And so we need endurance. Those that endure until the end shall be saved. Not about being born again. It's about something else. So in October, I'm going to start unraveling this now that I'm feeling like I should. That I knew October for quite a while was a turning point in the separation of the body of Christ. Now, you know why that that God brought that to a place in October. I didn't think it was ever going to happen. I had to endure until the end. And the end was October the 4th. We made that transaction. That was, and you heard me talk about being like being in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the reason I was, because I knew October was going to be the beginning of things falling apart. And yet, just like when Moses said, let my people go, and Pharaoh goes, you know, what are you doing, man? So he gave him, he multiplied their problems because you're trying to get out now. So same thing with us. Since I start, you know, proper channel going to come out, you know, and literally start coming out, what does Pharaoh do? What does the system do? Oh, the market just starts smoking up high to make it look like, you know, what I'm doing, what God's had me do is a farce. It's like, you know, trying to contradict it. And it's the same thing. It's all in the Bible. We have to read the Bible and understand that that applies to the way the spirit of the world works, not just a particular person so much, spirit of the world. I'm going to talk about that next week, about what happened with Blog Talk, what happened with three things. I've got it written down so I can hit it and go with it. Just document it. Yeah, endurance. Because if we don't endure till the end, we're not going to be saved. In other words, it's not about being born again, losing our salvation. You know, we're not going to be saved. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, you know, walking the full thing out so that we can go to God and say, we accomplished the goal. We made it till the end. John the Baptist, his ended around the age of 30. He finished his job. It was over. Done. Hasta la vista, baby. You're out of here. Chopped his head off. He was gone. Up when I go, that's what they do. They chop my head off. That's quick. Gone in just a few moments. You still, you know, they're going to have your head probably swinging around. You're probably looking around like, oh, no. And you see your body down there. Not funny, but I think about death in a completely different way than I used to. And then pretty soon, when the blood drains out of your brain, of course, you know, your brain will be dead, right? You'll be able to see things. Then you'll be dead. But, yeah. What does that mean? A lot. He endured until the end. He finished his job. What we got to do. And he was saved. In other words, he wasn't born again, but he was, you know, God said, you made it. You accomplished your God-given purpose that I put you in the earth for. You did it. At 30 years old, you had it done. Wow, that was amazing. Jesus said he was the greatest of the old prophets. He was the greatest. Among them, John the Baptist was the greatest. Why? Because he, at 30 years old, man, he got it done. He did his job, and he stuck with it. He was powerful. He didn't give in. He didn't give up. He didn't care if the whole world and the whole system got thrown in jail. He didn't care. He's still doing his job. He's gonna fight until the end, and then his job was done. And just like the two witnesses, the same thing with him. He's not gonna be 30, but he finished your job. Got to finish your job. We're gonna focus on that and that alone. Marie, $30. Thank you, Marie. Thank you, Lord, for Marie. $30 from Virginia. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Marie. Thank you, Lord, that we, all the things that we go through, we go through all kinds of stuff, and we see that, you know, see who our friends are, and, you know, sometimes, you know, like my friend, I call him my friend, he's not really my friend, I don't really know him, but he's dead, but, you know, Gideon, he's a pretty cool dude. And God said, man, you got way too many people. You got to get rid of some. Sometimes we have to get rid of people. We have to get people out of our life and the right ones, and to get the right people in our life. And then as we get that happening, then we get the right information, we get the right atmosphere, we get the right, don't we find out who our friends really are. Sometimes our family can be our worst enemy in some cases. But some people are so attached to their family, when it comes to fighting the fight they're supposed to fight, they'll compromise with their family. Because they're a family, I'm a family person. Well, I would definitely say Abraham was a family person, Marie. But he still had to kill his son. How family was that? Not very family, the way we think about it. So God shows us what real family is. Jesus said, my mothers and brothers are those to, you know, hear the word of God and do it. Not just hear the word of God, but do it. Doers. That's my family. It's all like a lot of people, but they hear it and they're talking about it, yakking about it and having a lot of good time, you know, going places and ever learning, but never really coming to the knowledge of the truth. You don't want to hang with those people unless you're called to minister to them, not just hang with them and receive their counsel. And, you know, thank you, Jesus. You know, like when we came out of the system, October the 4th, as far as PGN money, to the part for God's people, is that we came out from among them, be holy, so we don't partake of their plagues. We're coming to the point now where we can be in the world. We have been in the world and not of the world by still being in that system. But now it's coming where it's going. Revelation 18 is slowly, it seems slowly, it's very quickly actually, is upon us to realize that if we stay in that system, we're going to receive the plagues of that system. So we got to ask God how to come out of it. For everybody, it's a little bit different. Well, thank you, Lord, for showing Marie how to come out of things. You know, be separate, be holy, you know, and in every area, with friends, with family, you know. Sometimes our family, the Bible talks about family, and the end times, family going to turn on each other. You know, I doubt any of your families turn on each other, but it's not about that. But it's, you know, so the reason that they turn on each other is because sometimes they would get come to Christ, and then all their Jewish families say, you know, hey, you just, he's a devil. What are you doing worshiping him? He's a devil. He's a blasphemer. No, he's the Messiah. No, he's not. And so all of a sudden, they went from being your best friend to saying, okay, get out. You know, different levels of that. Because we're not going to have them telling us to get out until we get into the right way that may not be fully their way. It'd be good people. The Jews were, you know, their mother and father, you know, they were good people, very godly people. But when it came to some things like Christ, receiving him and believing in him, then you became ostracized. And that can happen at different levels in our families. And that's what, if we're not standing up for what we believe in, then of course we're not going to do that. But there's coming a time where God's going to say, come out from among them. Tell them where you're at. Tell them what's going on. And then let God take it from there. Maybe they'll all come to agreement, maybe not. And God bless her, increase her, multiply her, Jesus, and add her what she's doing. Let her know that you're rewarding her. You're going to reward her for her, for the works that you're having her do, not just any religious work, not just doing it, but of what you say, the works of faith. Faith is God speaking, God, you know, drawing. Bless her for that, Jesus. Increase her, multiply her. Give her wisdom. All right. Karen, $44. Thank you, Karen, for that. Bless you, Karen. Thank you, Jesus, for Karen. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, I know every word tonight seems to be about warfare and strategy and all that. I got a feeling that because we declared war, that God is saying, you know, I want you to wake him up, Randy. Give him a word about fighting the real fight, whatever that is. It's not about getting who we get saved. We already know we're saved. It's about what's our purpose. What has God appointed us to be a part of and do? So thank you, Lord, for Karen. God, show her the same thing I've been talking tonight. Come out from among them. Be holy. You know? Yeah. So when we do that, we start having direct hits. In other words, making progress in our struggles. Remember, we're here trying to get this thing going on, and God says, you know, drop that and do this. And when we start doing that thing he says, it seems like we're not doing that other thing anymore. It's like, then we find out all of a sudden that thing started happening. It never happened before. Like, oh my God, I got my mind off of it. I got my mind off of it. I start focusing on what I felt like God told me to do. And then it happened. Yeah, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those other problems we're having, that'll start working out. God is waiting for us to get lined up with him. My water. To get lined up with him so that all the other things can work out. He wants the other things to work out, right? But we're working on that instead of working on this. God, show her, direct her, God, on, you know, what to work on, what to not work on, what to focus on, what not to focus on. And then we start focusing on, you know, one single-minded toward that one thing, then all of a sudden, oh, my God, I even haven't been praying for that person for a couple of weeks now, and all of a sudden, they're calling me up saying, hey, can you pray for me tonight? I have something going on. I have some dreams. Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Amen. Bless her, Jesus. Increase her, multiplier, God. Help her to know the will of the Father. Amen. Regina, $50. Thank you, Regina. California. Give me water. All right, Blog Talk is definitely working because I just hung up and called back in before midnight, and I got right back in. So that's a good sign. I just got right back in. I hung up and then called back the number that we call when you're a host, and it got me in right away. So that was good. Okay. Regina, thank you, Lord, for Regina tonight. Thank you, Lord, for blessing her. Thank you for increasing her. Thank you for multiplying her, Father. Thank you, Lord, for opening up, giving her wisdom on how to say, what to say, when to say it, giving her, you know, increase of knowledge on how to approach things. Like sometimes we try to approach things the way we've always approached them, and the Lord goes, I want you to approach that in a different fashion, a different way. Sometimes we approach it by doing nothing, right? By just saying nothing. Sometimes silence can freak somebody out more than a bunch of, you know, loud talking. You know, sometimes saying nothing. I don't know what the strategy is, but I see you use changing strategies on things and finding yourself, you know, more at peace, more at rest, you know. More at going, you know, okay, God, it's a time for love. It's a time for hate. It's a time for peace. It's a time for war. It's a time for that. And so, you know, so finding out, you know, where to go with all that and how to do it, how to be diligent about, you know, God's having me love right now, and I'm going to be dealing with loving. He's going to be diligent hating, finding the things that he hates, and I start hating what he hates, and he definitely loves people, but he hates, you know, find out what he hates and start hating that, and getting into the rhythm of, you know, God's spirit of timing. There's four seasons. You know, they're all different. And different things happen. So finding your season, finding the season. It's God having me be silent right now toward things I've been, you know, praying about. Sometimes, I know it's hard to believe. Sometimes the Lord just says, I don't want you praying about that. I've done it. I've talked to people. I've prophesied in congregations to leaders in front of the whole church would say, stop praying about that because your prayers are messing it up. And the pastor literally looked at his wife, who I was looking at when I said it. And he said, I've been trying to tell you that, I didn't know anything was going on. So sometimes, you know, there's times to, you know, let things, you know, go. And that got sometimes we think we're in control of it all, you know. Sometimes God goes, you're not in control of that, Randy. But how we control it, how we're take dominion over it, is we do what I say. Do what I'm doing. If I'm doing it, Jesus said, you know, they got him for, try to nail him for working on the Sabbath. He says, my Father's working, I work with him. I'm not working in that, in particular right now. then we just don't work it. Because if we do, we're interfering with it. Right? This is something that I'm still learning, and I'm even giving words to people about this tonight. So I think God's really trying to sharpen our strategy. He's trying to sharpen us in our effectiveness so that we just don't get caught up into the same old thing all the time, that we're being vulnerable and flexible and yielded to the Lord, and he says, get up and go, we get up and go. All right? When he says, get up and do, we get up and do. But we do it when he says it. And so that's what we're all learning. I'm learning that. Jesus had to learn obedience to the things he suffered. So he wasn't doing that great at it at first either. He never sinned, but it says in Hebrews 4 that he learned obedience through the things he suffered. So we can see that this is not, when we tell people this isn't like, oh, you're the only one, like me, like, you're the only one who's dumb enough to know what to do. No, Randy Chen's not dumb. No, Randy Chen's learning through the things I suffer. By, like when I told that pastor's wife, actually, in a meeting, I think it was on a Sunday morning, I can't remember, congregation full, and I'm over there telling her, you know, stop praying about that because you're interfering with God. She's going like, what? Stop praying about stuff? She looked at me like I was an idiot, you know, sort of, in the most holy way she could. And her husband turned around and said, yeah, you know, I've been trying to tell you about that. And I went, thank God. He said that. That literally happened. Christ, why not? Why not? That's exactly what happened. And this is in a full-fledged congregation. I couldn't even believe I was doing it. I'm going like, what is wrong with me tonight, today? Ooh, I need to chill out or something. No, it was right on. Sometimes we get so caught up into, you know, if I don't pray and if I don't get this thing, if I'm not doing it, then, no, it's when we're coming into agreement with him. Wherever two or more come in agreement with him. And that was hard for me to, I mean, I never forget that. That woman, that woman was a woman of God. I knew her personally. I spent time with him. You know, I couldn't believe this was happening. I mean, I'm just like, it's, you know, when God moves me to do something, I just start doing it. I don't know what I'm doing. I just think it's the greatest thing in the world at the moment. And I started thinking, wait a minute, is that the greatest thing in the world, what I'm feeling in front of everybody? Oh, God. And she was embarrassed. It was extremely difficult. And he saved my hide by saying, yeah, you know, he's not a liar. He's like, turn around to her right there in front of everybody. He said, yeah, I've been telling you about that. And sure enough, you know, I guess she stopped it or something, because they literally testified that her breakthrough came, I think, the next weekend or something. I don't remember exactly the timing, but they needed $20,000. They weren't getting it. That's what I heard, you know. She did not tell me that specifically, but yeah, they got it, came in. Yeah, so, you know, this is a big thing that I think everybody in the church probably need to be told that. We all think we're, you know, because we're praying in Jesus' name, we know how to pray, we're praying, reading those books and how to pray. And God's going like, Randy, do like Jesus did. What did you see the Father do? That's what you do. Don't just pray, just be praying. Well, I thank you to bless Regina. Thank you for her love for you, God. Thank you for her love for her family. Thank you for her love for her life with you, Jesus, that you are going to increase and multiply her in wisdom and knowledge. And when she does that, she will increase and multiply in the natural realm. That's when we seek after God for wisdom and knowledge, right? The understanding. 100-fold understanding. Because when we understand, then things are easier. And the higher level you go, they work easier for you. People hate you more. They persecute you more. But it's easier for you. You go, in Jesus' name, let that be done. Because you're praying the exact will of the Father. Boom, 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 100-fold. You understand what's going on. You know what battle you're fighting. You know what to pray about it. You know what to say about it. You're not just doing what everybody's doing. You're doing what the Lord's telling you. Boom, boom, boom. Victory, victory, victory. The religious spirit is on the whole body of Christ in the prayer area. It is. It really is. All right. And God's is helping us all. And I'm being used. God's telling me to say this stuff. So, yeah. I love it. And you're blessing her, God, giving her understanding. She's going for that 100-fold understanding. And then you're blessing her with it in Jesus' name. All right, Veronica, $50. And Veronica, And yeah, thank you, Lord, for their lives. Thank you, Jesus, that 50 bucks. Thank you, Jesus, that you're, you know, you're setting the captives free. It's about setting captives free. It's not just about talking to the captives, visiting with the captives. We go to prison, we visit people, and sort of, but it's setting the captives free. Jesus said, I came to set them free, not just talk to them about it, right? But so I thank you, Lord, that they are action people. They're believing you for the truth, and that a truth will they will abide in that truth and live in that truth, right? And be single-minded with that truth and know what they're fighting, know what battle they're going, what's going on. You know, do I need to fight this thing by telling somebody the truth, or do I need to fight this thing by casting the devil out? Do I need to fight this thing by intercession and prayer at home for 3 or 4 days, water it real good, and then go and hit it? How do I do this? What's your strategy, God? We just can't do the same thing. Doesn't fit for everybody, right? You guys know that more than I do. The same thing doesn't fit for one person, for one situation. Maybe never fit for anything else, right? So we get God's strategy on everything. And I think in order that for the strategy that you've made, Veronica and Mike, the strategic people, in Jesus' name, they are strategic people. You're opening them up to strategies that you have. And that is not just one strategy fixes all people who have a certain issue. Certain issues can have several different strategies. So I thank God that we can never, like religious people, just, you know, find a way to do something and they apply it to everything. Right? I've done that. Well, so what are you doing? I didn't pray about that. I don't pray like that. I don't treat it like this. I want you to just go give them some money and give it to them even though they're not doing right with their money. I want you to bless them with some money and do that. And we're like, all right, they don't get their money. You want to give them some money? Give them money? Just do what I say. I do that. And so what blessed them wasn't the money, but the fact that I gave it to them from God, that they knew God was giving it to them. They didn't deserve it. And that's what God wanted to show them, his favor. It's great. Sometimes that's the real fight. It depends on what's going on. Every person needs, you know, the thing that touches them, whoever two or more agree is touching. So when we're touching stuff, that means we're effective at hitting it. We're boxing, not it around the air, but we're to agree more is touching. You're literally touching that thing. The Lord, show them how to touch that stuff. We just think we got to get a sledgehammer and hit it. Sometimes God just says, touch it with my power, just about touching it. They put their toe in the water to cross over the Jordan, right? They didn't like put a big, you know, big ship in there and a bunch of wood and, you know, lay it down. And now they just kind of put their foot in there, kind of put the foot in there. Doesn't seem like much. God said, put your toe in the water, put in the water. They did that. And the whole, a miracle happened. Oh my God. I mean, a toe did that. Yep. A foot did that. Yeah. It wasn't the strength of, you know, the power of my prayer. It's about being effective. Thank you, Lord, that they were effective in Jesus' name. So when they touch something, all they can do is touch it, and it's like, what happened? Man, they touched it, and oh my God, miracle. It just opened up, and all they did was touch it. They didn't have to slam at it, hit it, and whack it for 3 days, 3 years. Just touch it. Boom. You've been whacking at that thing for years. All of a sudden, you touch it, gone, over, the pooch. Blown that touch anointing, God. Touch whatever things you touch. What's the soles of your feet tread? What's so powerful about the soles of your feet? Exactly. Chris, $100. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Think the same thing with him. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to show him what he needs to pray, how he needs to pray. Then when he prays it, he'll get the answer from God, and God will answer it and go, wow. Good job. He said, man, like I hear God saying, yeah, man, when you're praying these days, dude, it's like, woo, it's effective. You're affecting things. God's called you to affect things, Chris. Be effective. Not about, you know, being well-known, like, you know, we all want to be well-known. Well, you're going to be well-known. People are going to be well-known because they're effective, right? So when we're effective, you know, what people know, hey, man, Chris is like, oh, my God. When he comes to town, he starts talking to you, like, things get affected. You don't walk away like nothing happened. No, it's a factual. People know, or say, hey, something happened. Yeah. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open him up to that being effective, the powerful, the right, the prayer of a righteous man is effective. When he gives, you know, to whatever he's doing, it's effective. It affects, it causes things to be blessed. You know, sometimes I used to go anoint certain things. Sometimes God would say, the reason it's not blessed is I want you to take anointing oil and anoint it. And when I would do that, I saw a guy one time, I prayed for him for I don't know how many times, nothing was happening. Like dead, dull, and nothing. The Lord said, get some oil, Randy. I heard the voice of God say, get some oil. We got some oil up in the mantle there, take it off. Oh, touch it. Boom. I mean, literally, that literally happened. I went like, wow, that was amazing. Was the power in the oil? It was in the obedience. For some reason, God wanted the scripture that says, you know, the oil, take the oil and anoint, and, you know, it's going to be effective. Tell the elders to get together and, you know, pray and anoint with oil. Sometimes I didn't have any oil. I didn't have nothing, you know. Sometimes I had plenty of oil, and it didn't matter. You don't need oil. It's not about the oil. It's about what God says. Thank you, Lord, for that. It makes us depend on you for everything. We find that our prayers, not like when I was praying over that guy, I remember this. This is like mind-boggling. It's like there was no, you know, you feel like nothing's really happening. It's the deadest prayer we ever prayed. And I prayed like I did with other people, and they got healed. I got blessed. What's wrong with this one? Am I not didn't drink enough water before I prayed for him? Did my brain not function? What's going on? No, the Lord said, get some oil. I didn't believe in oil. I mean, I knew it was good and in the Bible, but I didn't have to have oil. You have to have oil. You know, just pray in Jesus' name. It's about Jesus' name, right? But the Lord, not on that one. As soon as I did what he said, I touched him, prayed, and I barely got that out of my mouth, and boom, effective. Surprise me. Yeah, God's showing you that. Amen, in Jesus' name. He's bringing us out of that religious thing, Chris. As you know, more and more of the things, bring us out of that religious thing into the spirit. There's a million things in the Bible. Which one applies? We just kind of apply everything we've learned to that same thing. And, you know, for a while it may work, but, you know, God's going to say, I want you to listen to my voice. Don't make it a ritual. Hear my voice. Amen. That's what you're doing. That's what you're seeking. Amen. God's blessing with that. Ron, okay, Donald and Tanya. I put Donald and Ron. Not Ron, it's Ton. Donald and Tanya, $106. Thank you for that, Donald and Tanya. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing them. Thank you for their whole warfare thing. Everybody wants to know, you know, how do I, you know, am I doing the right thing? Am I being effective? What is going on? And I thank the Lord Jesus for Donald and Tanya, God, that them together, sometimes agreeing together in prayer. You know, when a husband and wife pray, we've got to make sure that there's not things that can hinder our prayers, which usually a husband and wife thing, there are plenty of them that could be hindering things, right? Marriage is, you know, I hate it when people try to act like their marriage is perfect and they never have any, that underlying stuff. None of that. We don't have any of that stuff. You know, like, yeah, we're sure not very effective, so something's not working. So I thank you, Lord, that with Donald Honey, God, that sometimes the answer is them praying over it together. And I'm sure you already do that, but I see God's going to show you the effectiveness of that, the power of that, the power of a man and a woman, a husband and wife, agreeing together as touching a thing. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Sometimes we pray by ourselves. We're powerful praying by ourselves. We're supposed to pray by ourselves. But it can be effective and powerful praying by ourselves. Sometimes the Lord just says, hey, one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000, and sometimes we need that, sometimes we don't. Because the job is getting the job done. So we need 10,000 things to hit it. Sometimes God can, you can use one angel, he can use three and wipe out a whole country if he wants to. It's not about numbers. It's about you know, what's needed for that particular situation. If you're fighting a Jericho, a wall, a Jericho wall, that's a whole different, that was a massive thing. It was a massive miracle when it came down. What did God do? He didn't say, just go over there and rebuke it for 7 days. And he said, walk around it. Don't say anything. Oh, who did everyone do that? They're not going to work. You're not praying. How's it going to work? You're not praying. You know? Yeah, exactly. God, what did God tell Joshua to do? Tell him to go around there and just walk around it, being quiet, basically. And at the end, they, you know, did their thing and got noisy and boom, it happened. Why? Because they came in agreement with God. It's the warfare. If we're going to win, we need to hear from the Lord on it. If we don't hear from the Lord on it, we're not going to do it. We're going to be wearing ourselves out, wasting our time. So thank the Lord that they know that. They already know all this stuff. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're showing them. You're bringing them into the path of righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. When we seek first the kingdom of God in everything we do, as husband and wife, as family, we're seeking God first. We're not seeking our church. We're not seeking our friends. We're not seeking PGN. We're seeking God first to obey him, be obedient to him. And when we do that, especially husband and wife, and sometimes, you know, we agree that thing gets touched and it needs that 10,000 volts. The other time it needs 1,000 volts. Sometimes it needs that 10,000 shot of electricity. Not all of it needs it. God's showing you how to do that. Come in agreement. Men, make where the job gets done with little or a lot. One or two. One or two just for you. One or two just for you, Lord. One or two? Okay, two for you. One or two, two will do. Uh-huh. Want to put 1,000 if that's all you got, that's all you need. Two put 10,000 if you need it, come together. Yeah. And pray. In Jesus' name, I loosen them, God. I loosen them. Show them how to be effective together. Show them how to be effective as individuals. When you're effective as an individual, then when you come together and you're both effective, that effectiveness, because we're effective and sharp as individuals. And then when those individuals come together, that's when you got that 10,000 thing. All right, Terrence and Tanisha, thank you. $270. And then Tanisha sent another three for pray for Zena. But we just thank you, Lord, for this whole thing that they're going through. I know they're going through warfare with this stuff. They've talked about it. They've, you know, brought it, some things out in the open. Thank God. Sometimes that's part of the strategy. Like if you know with me, Terrence and Tanisha, what God has me do, I'll keep things quiet for a long time. Like you guys do the same thing. And then all of a sudden one day the Lord says, you can talk about that now. I went, sure. I don't have to, you know. Okay, you can talk about it. And the reason he wants me to talk about it is because it's time to talk about it. And when it's time to talk about it, that means that he's taken to another level. To talk about it privately, that's one thing. Talk about it publicly, it moves to a whole different level when God's approving of that, right? So when he tells me to go public, that's why I tell people, I may come out public and, you know, I may talk about everything. I may give names, addresses, and phone numbers. Tell everybody everything and just, you know, they can check it out for themselves. Yeah. When it's public time, I cannot do that. With the 5 years I was going through that stuff with, it's still going through it, really, with the, what we believe is, you know, that group of people, basically, my father being, I had a proof of it, but he said he's a very powerful man. I don't understand it now. I believe I know what that means. And so, you know, I kept that private for a long time. Nobody knew I was going to do that. My wife, a little bit, but not really very much at all. And finally, when I started breaking it open, God took it to another level. The Bible says, you know, when you're dealing with something, this is kind of a type and shadow thing I'm giving you, right? So he says, when you deal with somebody's sin, you go to them privately. It's a private thing, and you deal with it privately. That doesn't happen. Get take two. Then still doesn't change. You know, you change it until they finally brought it before the public when God approved of it. When they went through the process correctly, God says, now bring it for the whole church and count them as a heathen. Yeah. So we have to go through that process. It's like you talked about the police the other day, that they tell you that you have to keep track of things so they have evidence. You can't just have a little bit of evidence. You have to have the right evidence. You know, fighting a real fight, it's a little bit different than people think it is. Let's mark it that evidence with the DEA thing happened. It's only the manager saying, when I ask him a specific question, you know, oh, that DEA thing happened the other day. Wasn't that amazing? He went, yeah. That, to me, that's all I needed him to say. Yeah, and it, so now I'm going to go public with it more. Couldn't go public much before because all this stuff, it all happened so you never know what's going to happen. So if you're not really up on it, you know, you can't document something that happens quick and it's over, you know. But that that happened quick, it's over quick, but I got documentation on that. So now I'm going to bring it out into the public. That we're going to war. When it's time, when war, I go to war all the time, privately, stuff and things, and ministry things, and all that. But when the war says declare war publicly, like Netanyahu did on October the 7th, that's a whole, now things are going to change. We've been piddle-paddling. They send some bombs. We send some little warfare. They shoot some missiles. We bring them down, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, it's like, we're going in and we're going to take them down now. Whole different thing, man. Whole different thing, Terrence and Tanisha. Whole different thing. Going public is what takes it to another level. When we're obeying God. Dealing with it in a, like say, the last phase, really, that they deal with. Sin, and that can, the strategy God has of that, privately, take two, make it not so private anymore, bring somebody else into it, that doesn't happen. You see more and more, it starts opening up to less private. First one is private between you and them. The second one, it's not from private, it's with somebody else. The third one, you know, basically, bring them before the church and the government of the church, not the world, the government of the church. You know, because it's been done officially right that they count them as a heathen, and then they are cast outside the protective walls of the church, like that when he turned that kid over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, save his soul, and finally he got right with God. Sometimes that's the strategy we have to do. And obviously it's, yeah, bless Terrence, bless Tanisha, show them God, show them what to do, show them how to deal with it, and show them the different, like I just shared, the different levels. It's real important to know that, because then you know, like labor pains happen more and more quickly. You know something's about to be birthed, or you know, go from private, and then another person gets involved, and then you go for the church. That's when it's going to be dealt with in a fashion that changes everything. All right, bless them, God, give them endurance, give them wisdom, give them the courage to. Do what they need to do and they can do it. And believe me, the battle picks up. When I declared war last Thursday at a different level, yeah, it's tough. We're going to talk about it next week. It's just rattling of the cage a little bit. But feel it rattle the cage. I want to prove it. You can't make this stuff up. All right, Nicole, 747, and then we'll pray for D. And I think that's it for tonight, unless somebody else has given, because I don't know about. Oh, wait, it was $100 from somebody. Let's see. Where is this? Oh, Jeff, and you get $100. Okay. Also, this is from Fate, from Yuki. Jeff and Yuki, Las Vegas. Oh, they're in Las Vegas. Cool. I didn't see that till just now. And after I pray for D, I'll pray for that. Jeff. Yeah. E. $100, $100. All right, thank you for that. I'll pray with that just a moment. Thank you. All right, Las Vegas. Cool. Let me go here and check a couple other things. I'm going to pray over the next person. All right, we're still on Blog Talk as far as I can tell. I think Blog Talk is broken through, it looks like. Oh, D. Gay and Angela Gay. I didn't see all that. Angela Joy, Shannon, and D. Angela Joy. No, Angela, I didn't see that. Cool, man. Okay. And then we have Shannon. Okay, 15. Pray over that in a minute. And then we have D. Give me 5. Thank you, D. All right. And let me check anything else in a second. Pray over that one. Okay, that's done. Okay, I don't think I paid over everybody. We got Nicole, D. Jeff and you, Angela Joy, and Shannon. As far as I know, that's it. That's it. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Nicole, 747. Hey, 747. I wonder if that, God, have you get that number because AK-47. AK could be 7. A. Okay. 747. I love that. I love that number stuff. It's awesome. I don't know what it means, but always. But thank you, Jesus, for that, for being on target, God. I thank you, Lord, for making. I kept this target. I've seen the target bag. I have to show you the target bag real quick. You can see it on the video. You were on the show with me that night, and I told you I had this target bag tied right here on this table, and I do, and I'm fixing to show you it for some reason. What it has to do with anything, I'm not sure, but I just obey. I'm tying it right now. If you can see me on the video, I'm actually untying that bag. I just untied it. There it is. Look at this. I've got a little bit of trash in there. But this is what I was talking about, Nicole. That night I showed you, we were talking, I kept looking down there and seeing that target bag, because it has target. Target, yeah, I'm a target. I'm a target for God, though, right? I'm not a target. So there you go. I put the target bag on my body. On my shirt, there it is. I just looked under just now and saw that target bag. And I'm going to do something with that. We're on target with you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Nicole being on target, 747, 47 numbers, all that lining up. That's all on target. That's all on target. Yeah, and wow. And so it makes me a target, makes people a target when you're in target land. And God says, I'm going to teach you how to be on you know, shoot it and hit it. In other words, the warfare and the strategy, the warfare to be on target with things. He thought about you to eat some lobster and crawfish. I love lobster. I don't ever get to eat it, but lobster and crawfish. What does that mean? I don't know what you mean by that. I thought you about to eat. Oh, you mean because? I'm sorry, I'm a little slow. You mean because I'm putting the bag on me? I just got that. I'm a little slow. I am slow, but I am mean. Right. Hey, can I say it? My video seems to be messed up on me a little bit. What's my internet looking like? It's okay. Is that great? I'm afraid to change it. Hello, it is trying to mess up on me. Watch this. As soon as I put the target thing up, my internet starts messing up on me. See, this is stuff I'm talking about, y'all. This is stuff I am talking about. These little things I do that I don't always know exactly why I'm doing them, they are powerful. They are powerful. What is this thing? I don't know what this is. Okay. Oh, I fit it. Oh, I see. I was fitting it in there. Okay. What is that? I don't even know what that is either. Oh, that's Duet. You're ready to use Duet? I don't want to use Duet. Of course, quit Duet. Duet is a computer thing to use. Wow. Duet came on and my video went kabuchi. Okay, so I don't know how to fix this. I think my video just went off. Oh, Zoom is broken. And we can't call MPG anymore either. Okay, what you have to do is go to, because Zoom stopped. I mean, I'm not even through the show. And, wow. Okay. ham connected internet. I can usually get on the internet through my two phones or the